play.
The world stopped on Friday.
Actually, it's Saturday. No. No, the wheels stopped turning on Saturday. Damn it. But anyway, good evening, Truth Seekers. Welcome to Friday's program here on The Malloy Show. Thanks for, first of all, finding us. And secondly, hanging out for a while. Talk about finding us. I got this really cool email from a guy named Mac who writes, Hi, Mike. I'm listening to your show from a fire lookout tower in the Central Oregon wilderness. I've been here for 7 weeks tomorrow and will be here until next October 15 or the end of fire season. I'm listening on a Sirius XM radio and emailing on a laptop powered by a solar-charged battery bank. I'm on late-night lightning duty tonight. Nothing like a hot tea, an MRE, lightning flashing all around, and a fire lookout filled with the sounds of the Mike Malloy Show. Keep the faith, Mac T. P.S. By the way, I'd love to call in, but my cell phone only works on one corner of the lookout catwalk. That would not be wise in the rain and the lightning. Catch my dispatches that are appearing in Democratic Underground's General Discussion Forum and in my Democratic Underground Journal, which is headed Demotex, D-E-M-O-T-E-X. Well, a fire lookout tower in Central Oregon wilderness. There's wilderness in Oregon? Really? Isn't that, doesn't Oregon have one of the largest rainforests left in North America? Or am I thinking of Nevada? Just kidding. The Republicans never give up on poor old Barack Obama, do they? I mean, they never will. Now, of course, as you heard, she, whose name will not be mentioned on this program unless absolutely necessary, went on another one of these little right-wing toads radio shows and said that, well, I don't think anything wrong. You betcha about checking on Barack Obama's citizenship. You know, I mean, it just never stops. You know what the latest is? Some Republicans in Congress tried to make a big ordeal over the White House Hanukkah party. And they bitched and complained to the Jerusalem Post correspondent in Washington, D.C. These Republicans apparently got this guy and said, look, not only does Barack Obama hate Israel, and not only does he hate the Jews, and not only is he pro-Arab, and not only does he want to see Israel pushed into the sea, but guess what? At this year's Hanukkah party, he's cut the guest list in half. Now, this is no joke. In response to this insanity, the National Jewish Democratic Council, the CEO, Ira Forman, wrote a piece about this in the Huffington Post. And he pointed out, excuse me, why Barack Obama's petty critics are out of line when complaining about holiday party invitations. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. If they ever find out what kind of toilet paper he uses, there will be an issue about that. You know it as well as I do, right? Anyway, Forman, writing at Huffington Post, said, this is no joke. The Jerusalem Post ran an entire piece expressing criticism of the White House because Obama's first Hanukkah party would not have as many invited guests as the last one under the auspices of President George W. Bush. According to the article in the Post, this reduction in invitations could be viewed as giving the cold shoulder to the community, the American Jewish community, or even as a purposeful snub of Jewish Americans. Oh, no. And then Forman, he wrote some more, and then he concluded the piece with this. This is absolute nonsense. One of the reasons I've loved working in the nation's capital for Jewish organizations is because the Jewish community has had a serious policy agenda, not just on Israel, but also on issues ranging from civil rights to combating hunger. Perhaps this thread of stories complaining about the lack of tickets to a White House holiday party is simply a reflection of conservative Jews searching for ways to knock the president. I hope so. Heaven help us if we really begin to act as if party invitations are what our community is all about. Oy vey, Shmir. Oh, man. Obama is not popular in Israel itself. I think his approval rating in that country, if such a thing can be called an approval rating, I don't even know what they call it, but his popularity numbers, whatever, is in the single digits. It's like 7, 8, 9%. Oops. Hello. Don't drop your microphone. 7, 8, 9%, somewhere around there, approval in Israel. I recently, not recently, several months back, saw a video of young American Jewish males in Israel for the, you know, for their trip there, which is almost de rigueur for Jewish American boys when they reach a certain age. And this one video, it was very one-sided, very it reflected very badly on these young Americans who were in Israel. In a pub someplace, I guess in Tel Aviv or Haifa, and drunk on their asses. Obvious in the video they were drunk on their asses, but they were, you know, they were really going after Obama, calling him an MF-er and F him, and this is Israel, man. We're not going to put up with any of this. It was really embarrassing. It was embarrassing to see these young Americans in a foreign country, and it is a foreign country. I don't care if they have dual citizenship or not. It's a foreign country, or the right of return or whatever. It's still a foreign country. It's not the United States. It really isn't. You know, saying these things. Now, you've got to write 95% of it off, that kind of behavior off to their youth and inebriation. And the fact that they're away from home, mom and dad aren't around, the rabbi's not around, nobody's around to kick their ass and tell them to stop this nonsense. So they go crazy, you know, just act like, I guess Catholics would act in Rome, you know, young Catholic males in Rome. I don't know about young Muslim men in Mecca. Probably not. They probably would not be out drinking and using the F word. But anyway, now it's Obama's holiday invitation list to American Jews to come for a Hanukkah party, and it's only half as long as George W. Bush's. My. What will be next? Like I say, if it's about his bathroom tissue, we have to find out what kind of toothpaste he uses. Or, I don't know. I mean, if he uses a certain brand of toothpaste, that'll be proof positive he's not really an American. Crazy. To you Republicans who are still listening, you conservatives that, you know, like to monitor the first part of the program, go F yourselves, will you please? Seriously. Just, you know, take a long walk on a short pier. Go play with the fishes. Get out of town. Go away. You're nuts. You're crazy. You're out of your freaking minds. Boy, just once I like to unload with the F word on. But that would be it, wouldn't it, Kathy? Huh? If I do that one time, that's it. I can always say it was an accident. I guess not now. Al Babe sent this to me. It's from, I never know where it's from. Jamie put this together. Al Babe sent it in. Southwestern Ohio is something of a mecca for these teabagger freaks. On Labor Day weekend of this year, a teabag party was held at Voice of America Park in Westchester, Ohio, and it was estimated that 18,000 of these teabaggers showed up. And in the lead up to last week's congressional race, John Boehner even brought up this event while talking to John King on CNN, which was held within walking distance of his home, of Boehner's home. So knowing this, as Jamie writes, you wouldn't expect that any teabag party-style candidate would be a shoo-in, or you would expect, would be a shoo-in for local office in that area, wouldn't you? Well, I have a little surprise for you. And since we have a break coming up, this is good news. This is not relief. I've got a Rolaids relief story coming up a little bit later here, but this is just kind of good news. It really is. I think it shows what goes on when this crazy son of a bitch Glenn Beck is not hovering around like some kind of a demon sorcerer, or when Limbaugh's plug has been pulled, or Sarah Palin is not charging $16 to have her picture taken with the people who want to buy her book. Oh, it's goddamn madness, isn't it? Anyway, stick around. I got this story for you. I want to share it with you when we come back. All right, let's see. We've been on through one break, and I've already cursed, what, six times? Way to go, potty mouth. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
It is 21 past the hour, and coming up after the next break, we're going to do podcast trivia, where you can win a free one-year subscription to Malloy downloads of this program, commercial-free. Anyway, so southwestern Ohio, a real hotbed. It's the reddest part of a state that doesn't know what to do. Ohio happens to be, I believe, the most polluted state in America. It is poverty-stricken. The unemployment rate there is not too much different from Michigan's. But by God, they will continue to vote for these Republicans forever and ever and ever. Well, this is an area that you would expect any Tea Party style candidate would be a shoo-in for local office, right? Well, according to a newspaper in Cincinnati Inquirer, a newspaper there, the reign of the anti-school tax activists on area school boards was a short one. They had some elections, and onto the school board was elected people who don't want any taxes to pay for the schools. I mean, it's insane. It's crazy. This is what happened with Prop 13 in California back in the 70s. And look at California. Anyway, Fairfield School Board incumbent Arnie Engel, who tried four times to get elected to the Fairfield School's governing board before finally winning in fall of 2005, this time finished fourth in the race for three open seats. That's one. Warren County's Mason School Board race. In that race, self-proclaimed Christian conservative incumbent Jennifer Miller ended up fifth out of eight candidates vying for three seats. And in the Monroe School Board race, fiscal conservative Mike Irwin lost his reelection bid, finishing dead last among five candidates. Now, all three of those school districts mentioned surround the district where the big Labor Day teabag party was held. And they are all represented by John Boehner and Jean Schmidt. You remember her. They also are parts of the reddest corner of Ohio, like I mentioned. So while Republicans are celebrating their wins of the governorship in New Jersey and Virginia a couple of weeks ago, we need to remember that all politics are local, and you can't get much more local than a race for the school board. Maybe results like this show that when push comes to shove, people really aren't ready to give the conservatives any more chances. One would hope. Right? Yeah, I'm familiar with that part of Ohio. It is about as redneck as you can guess. It's about as redneck as my neighborhood here. You know, the part of the county that I live in. Whoo, lordy. But the idea that I'm going to get elected to the school board and then I'm going to defund it. God damn it. I don't believe in government run schools. That's what Neil Bortz calls them. Government run schools. Dumb bastards. What do you believe in? Well, Christian schools. What's a Christian school? That's one that is set up to keep the foreigners out. You know, illegal immigrants and dark people. And people don't speak our language because we're good at speaking our language. We don't want them here. I get so tired of that. Don't you? Yeah, I know. I do too. Got a letter from Jesse who says, I need someone to tell me the story about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. Really? And the similarities of the 9/11 attacks. Two separate incidents that went completely non-investigated with forensic technology and capacities at hand. He writes, members of the 9/11 Commission have already distanced themselves from the integrity of the 9/11 Commission findings. He says, I do not get the stock footage of the Al-Qaeda members going across the monkey bars with hoods on. Does that really mean anything? Does that mean every playground that has monkey bars is a potential Al-Qaeda training site? The maximum number of Al-Qaeda trained prior to 9/11 was 20,000. That's a pretty big operation if you think about all the logistics to maintain that operation. How many people reading this work for a company with 20,000 employees? Now, do you get the inherent problems associated with this entire concept? It was a religious operation, so the 9/11 hijackers proved their religious faith by going out and getting effed up the night before. Doesn't seem too religious to me. The night before you commit suicide for your God, you defile your God. Why is it that if you ask questions, all you get is ridiculed? To commit this nation to war, and yet this simple question, these simple questions have not been answered. It's a clear indication to me it's all bull blank. Yet if I interjected the fact that it is nothing more than carving out a position to protect the oil company's future, then it all makes sense. Jesse, yeah. Well, the Gulf of Tonkin incident turned out to be what we were told. Turned out to be totally untrue. And the 9/11 attacks, all that we've been told so far, have turned out to be entirely untrue. I think that's all any of us need to know. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Once again, for podcast trivia here on the Malloy Program, get the right answer. You win a one-year subscription to the Malloy Show podcast downloads, commercial-free. It's all yours. It's our gift, but, well, not a gift. You have to earn it. And the only way you can earn it here is just pick the right answer, all right? It's not hard. It really isn't. So we are going to try to give one away here. And we're going to start with Paul, who's in Canton, Georgia. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You know how the game's played, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let me see. All right, here we go. Here's your question. What record did Raisin Brain set as governor of Texas before he was appointed president in 2000? Was it A, he threw out more baseballs at Texas Rangers games than any other governor? B, he held more fundraisers at the governor's mansion than any other previous governor? C, he signed off on more executions than any previous governor of any state at the time? Or D, he won more corn dog eating contests than any previous elected politician in Texas history?
I'm going to go with C.
C. Well, guess what? All right, way to go. Way to go, Paul. And the crowd goes crazy. All right, Paul in Canton, Georgia, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold, and Kathy will get the pertinent information. Congratulations, okay?
Thanks so much.
All right, man. Thanks for playing. All right, Charles in Potomac, Maryland. Try back a little bit later and take another shot at it. Signed off on more executions than any previous governor of any state. Jesus. Yeah, well, they probably all deserve to die, right? You can interpret this any way you want. Well, the first one, let me do this first. You remember this poor, sick bastard, Maurice Clemens, the guy who was shot by an officer who was trying to arrest him, the guy that killed four... Well, they think. I mean, everything seems to point to the fact that he killed those four Washington police officers. Remember that? A week or so ago, it was just a horrible, upsetting situation. Three male officers and female officer sitting in a cafe having a coffee. This crazy son of a bitch comes in and opens fire and kills four of them, right? This is an Associated Press release, and according to Gene in California, the only place this is being reported is on Fox, some of the Fox affiliates. This is what it says. It's a longer article, but Gene highlighted the only part that's necessary here. At the time of his arrest in Washington State earlier this year, remember, this guy had served time in Arkansas for serious, serious crimes. And at the time, and that was given a parole by, what's his name, who was governor at the time. You know who I mean. I just can't think of it right away, but don't, it's okay. And then he was arrested in Washington State earlier this year. Investigators said Maurice Clemens had visions that he was Jesus Christ and that the world was on the verge of the apocalypse. And according to court papers obtained by the News Tribune of Tacoma, Washington, he also told the officer that arrested him back in the spring or the summer that President Obama and LeBron James are his brothers. Oprah Winfrey is his sister, and he referred to himself as, quote, the beast, end quote. A psychological evaluation in October found he was a risk to public safety, but not enough of one to justify committing him, the newspaper reported. So someone who says he is Jesus and the world is on the verge of the apocalypse and that Oprah is his sister and Obama is his brother, that's not enough to have him considered a risk to public safety. We all know what the Christian dominionist Armageddonist crazy people want. They want the apocalypse. They want blood. They want rivers of blood. No. Literally, rivers of blood. They want to see gushing rivers of arterial blood flowing everywhere, especially in Israel. If it flows in Israel, then Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. These are crazy people. They're crazy. But here's another Christian religious fanatic who guns down four people doing nothing but sitting having coffee. Gene writes, thus far, Fox is the only place where I read this description of the killer, which he's referring to online. Is Fox searching for or encouraging copycatters amongst its readership and its viewers to follow in Maurice Clemens' footsteps in order to speed up the loonies' Armageddon? Yes. They are, Gene, as far as I'm concerned, absolutely. Like we've talked about, or I've said on this program, Fox would like nothing more. Beck, The Suicider, and Premier's Chunk of Meat, Rush Limbaugh, and this crazy-eyed Michelle Malkin, they want nothing more, or nothing less, I should say. They would appreciate nothing more. And they want nothing less than open warfare in the streets of America. They want to see blacks shooting whites, whites shooting blacks, Christian fanatics going after Jews and Muslims. This is what Fox and Beck and the rest of these crazy bastards promote 24/7. You don't believe it? Listen to their programs. Watch. And if you still don't make the connection, switch over to some of these Focus on the Family. I call it something different, but I can't say the F word on the air. Focus on the Family. James, whatever the hell his name is, Dobson's program. And listen to these psychopaths if you don't think that they're pushing for blood in the streets. This is what they want. They honestly believe that butchery and blood and death and destruction will please their twisted version of their Messiah. You know, Christianity is a very, very, very bloody religion. Even if it's just sedate mainstream Christianity, it's still bloody as hell. I mean, what do you consider mainstream Christianity? Catholic Church? And what do you call transubstantiation, if not cannibalism and vampirism? I mean, it's crazy. Just crazy. Oh, well, I'm not going to get on this. But it just intrigued me that Maurice Clemens turns out to be somebody who was in a high state of agitation in his anticipation of the apocalypse. Do you like Alan Grayson? Representative Alan Grayson, he defeated an incumbent in Florida's Republican heavy 8th congressional district last year. Representative Alan Grayson did, and he's a Democrat. And Max Blumenthal, and Max Blumenthal, that's not really an Irish Catholic name, is it? Max Blumenthal, writing at MondoWeiss.net, pulls the cat out of the bag on Alan Grayson, and I don't know, this is kind of upsetting. First of all, as Blumenthal points out, Grayson has emerged as one of the progressive movement's most vocal champions. His really acerbic attacks on Republican obstructionism where it concerns health care reform and his opposition to escalation in Afghanistan, yada yada, just about everything Grayson has done, and his unwillingness to sit quietly like a typical Democrat and have the Republicans stomp on him. Well, all of that has gotten Grayson praise from a lot of liberal bloggers and activists. And according to Max Blumenthal, even before his election, Grayson gained recognition from the Wall Street Journal for being, quote, a fierce critic of the war in Iraq. He, unquote, who sported a Bush lied, people died bumper sticker on his car. And recently Grayson told CNN, quote, people want to see a congressman with guts and America likes to hear the truth, end quote. Grayson battled for the public option in health care reform. He opposed the wars Obama has inherited from Bush. But when it comes to the Israel-Palestine conflict, Grayson is just yet another fully programmed by AIPAC and the pro-war, pro-settlement wing of the Israeli lobby, the Likudniks. In an interview with the Philadelphia Jewish Voice, Grayson revealed two meetings he held the previous week with AIPAC Executive Director Howard Kaur. In the interview, Grayson explained how Kaur helped to educate him about Israel-related issues. And then he misquoted the Abba Iban line, quote, the Arabs never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. Actually, it was the Palestinians never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. There's more on this. And this is upsetting to me because I thought here was a guy who would be even-handed, not pro-Palestinian, just even-handed in this horrific situation that's gone on for 50-plus years in the Middle East.
Don't know what they're headed for. Everybody's quiet and peace on earth just as soon as we win this war.
Rage Against the Flying Monkey Right with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, we're talking about Max Blumenthal writing the other day about Representative Alan Grayson, who a lot of people in the progressive movement really see as the shining light because he has tried to rip to pieces the Republican Party for its chicanery and lies and deceit and so on and so forth. But where it concerns the Israeli-Palestinian issue, Grayson is just another rubber stamp of AIPAC, apparently. Anyway, Max Blumenthal, writing at his blog site, Mondo Weiss, NewsHour.net. He talks about an interview in a couple of months ago with the Philadelphia Jewish Voice. Grayson revealed that two meetings that he held previous week with AIPAC Director Howard Kaur. And he explained in the interview how Kaur helped to educate him about the Israeli Palestinian issue. Here's part of the interview. Grayson says, I met with Howard Kaur, the head of AIPAC, twice last week. Philadelphia Jewish Voice. And what was the gist of the conversation? Grayson. The gist of the conversation was that Iran is a tremendous threat to Israel and needs to be stopped, and I agree with that. Philadelphia Jewish Voice. And what about what is going on in the Gaza Strip? Was there any conversation about that? Grayson. Yes, we talked about that. I think what AIPAC often tries to do is to educate members of Congress who frankly follow this a lot less closely than I do. In my case, I read Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post online 4 or 5 times a week, so I am pretty familiar with the circumstances and why the war took place. As a famous Israeli once said, the Palestinians never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. Which is the correct quote. Now, Alan Grayson's statement back in January explaining his vote in favor of Israel's assault on the Gaza Strip. I didn't know that. That was the attack that resulted in how many dead? 1,400 people were killed, about 400 of them women and children. And I think how many Israeli soldiers died? 13, 14. And Grayson supported that. As a matter of fact, as Max Blumenthal writes, Grayson's statement explaining his vote in favor of Israel's assault on the Gaza Strip read like a mimeograph of those released by other AIPAC-friendly members of Congress. However, its introductory line stood out. In Grayson's statement, it said this, quote, Congressman Alan Grayson, one of three incoming Jewish members of Congress, issued the following statement on the situation in Gaza, end quote. Max Blumenthal writes, why did Grayson feel compelled to advertise his religion in a statement in favor of a war that would ultimately kill 1,400 people, including at least 400 women and children, according to the Ministry of Health in Gaza? Blumenthal goes on, Grayson lately voted to condemn the Goldstone report that confirmed these figures. That was a report by the Zionist, by his own admission and his daughter's. He is a Zionist Jew. He is a South African judge, and he utterly and absolutely condemned what Israel did in Gaza. He also condemned the Palestinians for sending those rockets into Gaza. But the Goldstone report has been totally, at first they attempted to eviscerate it, and then they decided to just sink it. And Grayson voted to condemn the Goldstone report. The Congress of the United States felt, can you believe this? The U.S. House felt compelled to condemn a report put together by a South African jurist who is himself a Zionist Jew who believes firmly in the establishment and continuation of the State of Israel, but also believes in reporting the truth. So Alan Grayson becomes yet another American member of Congress who will do what AIPAC tells him to do, especially where it concerns not just subverting the truth, but destroying it, suppressing it. How many Americans have heard of the Goldstone Report? Max Blumenthal, and again, you can tell by the name Max Blumenthal, he's not an Irish Catholic. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Max Blumenthal says, and why does Grayson toe the AIPAC line on Israel's wars while fervently opposing the wars America wages in the Middle East to supposedly stamp out Islamic terror? Americans would like to hear the truth. Max Blumenthal, writing at MondoWeiss.net. The only part I would disagree with Max Blumenthal, who I think's excellent journalist would be the last line. Americans would like to hear the truth. No, we wouldn't. Now, come on, Max. In this country, we can't handle the truth. Are you kidding me? Come on. Nice try. I mean, I'd like to believe that, too, that Americans would like to hear like to know the truth. But, Max, you know as well as I do that Americans can't handle the truth. A and B are not interested in the truth. Just give me some more Tiger Woods. And wasn't that hellish that Tiger Woods knocked the uninvited couple off their week-long trip down TV Alley and all that fame? Oh, I'm going to kill somebody. All right, when we come back, we have a report card from our education affairs correspondent and a letter from Prairie 2, our economic affairs correspondent, both of which will dazzle and entertain you. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Seven past the hour. This is the Malloy program. Are you all familiar with there's a blog site, godzoneparty.com? No, it's not. It's a Republican political watch. Leah Burton is the person who runs the site. She's the author. And it's godzoneparty.com. If you haven't been to that website, I'm sure a lot of you have. You ought to check it out. What they do is keep track, or what Leah does is keep track of the crazy people on the Christian right, the Christian Republican right, to be specific. She's from Alaska. Her father was Alaska State Trooper. And he spent some time working in... I guess in the detail for the governor of the not Palin, but when Leah was a kid growing up, that's what her blog site says. Godzoneparty.com is the site. She has up there right now. Remember the other night we had Mikey Weinstein on, the guy who runs the Freedom from or not Freedom from Religion, but the what's the name? You remember, Kathy? Yeah, Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Yeah, MRFF, Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Weinstein's concern, obviously, is the this Christian dominionism that is eating the U.S. military and turning it into something that I don't think is healthy. Weinstein doesn't think it's healthy. And... I think anybody who practices any kind of rational thought doesn't think it's healthy. I mean, you can be, certainly you can be anything you want. Be a mainstream Jew, mainstream Christian, mainstream Muslim, you know, any whatever your religion is. But dominionist Christianity is insane. I mean, by definition, it is insane. And the people who subscribe to it are mentally deranged. I don't see how anyone can explain dominionism any other way except that its adherents are crazy. Well, Mikey Weinstein was describing the threats that he receives with regularity from the Christian dominionist sect. He gets a lot of emails threatening his life. And one in particular, Leah has put up on her website that is pretty spooky. And she put it up there. Leah Burton quotes Weinstein. Weinstein says, the call, apparently this was a phone call, obviously a phone call. The call featured the voice of a child of 4 or 5, Weinstein said. The child was chanting into the phone this. Now we lay you in your grave. There was no way you could be saved. You hate our Lord Jesus, and he can tell, which is why you will burn in hell. Weinstein added that in the background he could hear an adult voice coaching the child. I never heard that. Now we lay you in your grave. There was no way you could be saved. You hate our Lord Jesus, and he can tell, which is why you will burn in hell. And on her webpage, she has a picture of two little kids, and they have T-shirts on. GodHatesFags.com. Two cute little girls. GodHatesFags.com. The one is probably 2.5 or 3. The other child is maybe Molly's age, probably 5. And Leah writes, this speaks for itself, doesn't it? They indoctrinate these children and teach them that Jesus is hateful, spiteful, vindictive, and petty. And we wonder, Leah writes, how we end up with the teabagging version of the American Christian, quote, quote. Well, it comes from, you know, what kids are taught when they're kids, right? Now we lay you in your grave. There was no way you could be saved. You hate our Lord Jesus, and he can tell, which is why you will burn in hell. Anyway, you want to check out Leah Burton's website, godsownparty.com. It's pretty scary. Thanks to Jude for sending that little item in. Ooh, and Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. We are having our Christmas party here on the Molloy program on the 23rd? Huh? 23rd. I have a report card from Kay Petrini, our education affairs correspondent. I guess we have enough time to do this now. Well, let's give it a try.
Teach your children well, 'cause their father's hell.
Kate Petrini is a school teacher in San Francisco, teaches on the high school level, and she is also our educational affairs correspondent. She writes, hi, Mike. After discovering that most of my students were unaware of the president's speech last Tuesday, I set aside time in all my classes this week to discuss the plan for Afghanistan. In my U.S. history class yesterday, I showed students a clip from CNN featuring interviews with Democrats and Republicans who had watched the speech. One of the Republicans said, quote, I'm disappointed because the president should be sending more than 30,000 troops to get the job done right, end quote. The kid's reaction to that included, what the heck is she thinking? Is she crazy? Why would someone say that? Then I looked around to see one of my most outspoken students almost jumping out of her seat as she raised her hand and pleaded, I want to say something about that. Here's what she said, paraphrasing, quote, I'm losing faith in Obama. Why would he send 30,000 more Americans to die? I don't understand. My dad is kind of old. He fought in the Vietnam War, and to this day he can't watch a news report without someone being shot. He has bad dreams sometimes. Right now he's at the VA hospital because he just had surgery. And let me tell you, the soldiers there who are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan are much worse than my dad ever was. They have bad injuries, and they're totally freaked out. I mean, they just aren't all there. When the nurse comes in to move them, they start yelling and screaming and getting out of control. It's awful. Why would we send 30,000 more people off to either die or come home like that? End quote. As she spoke, I watched the faces of the other students. They were riveted. Clearly, this one young woman's story had, quote, made the connection, end quote, for the other students in a very powerful way. As I observed what was taking place, I had to think about how our media has completely abdicated its responsibility to do for the American people what my student did for her peers, tell the real story. I was quite young during the Vietnam era myself, but I remember the images on our black and white television every evening, bombs exploding, coffins on the tarmac, and student protests here in the Bay Area. I may not have understood exactly what was going on, but I knew it had to be stopped. As you often point out, Mike, my student and people like her with loved ones serving in the military make up a fraction of the American public. They have an impact on their peers, but they cannot reach enough Americans to really turn the tide against these two filthy wars. For that, we need a media that holds this government accountable. Dream on. Still, I can end this missive on an encouraging note. Almost every student in my classroom yesterday got it. And maybe, just maybe, these young people will take the lesson they learned from their classmate with them as they move into adulthood. After the discouraging news of the troop increase on Tuesday, I'm finishing this week by being grateful for my students because, once again, they've given me hope.
Your children well.
K.
Because their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams. The one they fix. The one you know.
We had a teacher-parent conference today, midterm, with Molly's two kindergarten teachers. And it's amazing the contrast between what a middle school or a high school teacher deals with their students and what kindergarten teachers deal with. Of course, you know, the difference is obvious. It's the age and experience of the kids. But Molly did get a good report. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy.
Come on, come on. No more wars, no more lying. Come on, come on. All my people in the world, come on. Every boy, every girl, come on. If you know it ain't over till God says that it's over, come on. Come on, let's go.
Screaming with Mike Molloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. What else do we have here tonight? Let's open up the lines, Madam Producer. So if someone wants to call in. And we'll be playing podcast trivia next segment after the next break. So if you want to do one or both, give us a call. Number is 877-996-2556. The report came out today that unemployment rate in this country fell from 10.2 to 10.0. Okay. I wonder if that's true. Kevin Gray, who is an author, he wrote The Novocaine Effect, Obama and Black America, in the recent print edition of Counterpunch. And Kevin Gray said today, Obama said that there's limited funds at the jobs summit yesterday, but that doesn't seem to apply to billions of dollars for war. Gray goes on, by any economic measure, the black community is in a severe depression. Unemployment among blacks was high before Obama took office. For blacks in the 16 to 24 age group, it's been double-digit unemployment for decades. Nevertheless, in the time between Obama's inauguration and the present, the unemployment rates for the parents of many of those unemployed youth nearly doubled. As of September, the official Bureau of Labor Statistics data showed the overall black unemployment rate at 15.4%. That breaks down to 16.5% for adult men, 12.5% for adult women, and 40.8% for black teenagers. Some economists estimate that the actual overall rate is in the 30 to 35% range. not 15. With the official or the unofficial teenage rate for black kids surpassing the 50% mark, these rates remain unchanged, even as the overall rate as of November, end of November, has dropped from 10.1 to 10.0%, or 10.2 to 10.0%. Gray goes on, the $787 billion stimulus plan didn't do much for the unemployed. No targeted youth or adult jobs program was part of the package, black or white. The most that the jobless got out of the stimulus deal was extension of unemployment benefits if they hadn't already dropped off the rolls. At best, stimulus dollars forestalled some teachers being laid off and kept road crews working. If hiring more cops is a good thing, ostensibly to ramp up their drug war and gang suppression activities, the bill did that as well. It must be noted that the share of public funds to the police penal state has nearly doubled as a percentage of civilian government spending over the past 50 years and now stands at 15%. Gray, by the way, is the author of a forthcoming book titled The Decline of Black Politics, From Malcolm X to Barack Obama. And you can hear him on Sirius Radio. He's a weekly guest on Live from the Land of Hopes and Dreams. I'm not sure what channel that is, but you can get that right. And the information here comes from Institute for Public Accuracy. I didn't pay any attention whatsoever. I kind of relied on Prairie 2 to cover the so-called job summit, but I did catch some of the quick coverage on the network news programs and on the cable news programs, and apparently it was an exercise in, if not stupidity, certainly futility. You know, a bunch of guys in suits sitting around talking about, well, there's unemployment in this country. Okay. I still do not understand why, and I don't understand probably because I am just unable to understand. I'm sure there's a very clear explanation out there. I just don't know what it is. But I don't understand why the Obama administration did not put together something similar to the programs that were started by Roosevelt during the Depression, most notably the WPA, the Works Project Administration. You know, we're nation building, and that includes infrastructure in Afghanistan for people who really, I guess any country would take the freebies. Yeah, you want to build us roads? Okay. You want to put in an electric grid? Okay. You want to give us a decent water system? Okay. But as soon as you're done, get your ass out of my country. Why are we spending the money we're spending, aside from the death, why are we spending the money we're spending to create an infrastructure in Afghanistan when ours has deteriorated to the point where, in so many instances, it's not even functioning any longer? Think of the jobs there. Will somebody think of the jobs there? Somebody who has the power to fund those jobs, right? But no, we have to go kill. We have to go kill. We have to go kill.
Keep on rocking in the free world.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 25 before the hour, and it's time once again. It's time once again for podcast trivia on the Malloy program, where you get a chance to win a free one-year subscription to Malloy podcast downloads. And all you have to do is get the correct answer to our little quiz here, and you win. All right, who do we have? We have Sean, who is in Belleville, Illinois, listening on Sirius. Hey, Sean.
Hi, Mike.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, hold on just a minute. All right. We got craziness going on here with our sound system. We okay now?
Oh, yeah. I hear you loud clear.
Okay, here we go. George W. Bush was the first president to enter office with what distinction? A, first president without a law degree. B, first president who never served in combat. C, first president whose father also was president. Or D, first president with a criminal record.
I'm
going to
go with D.
D?
Yeah,
D? First president with a criminal record. You're absolutely right. He was convicted of driving while intoxicated in 1976. I think that was the case that Karl Rove had had a purge from his record so that he wouldn't have to testify or something. I forget what it was all about. All right, but you won. Sean, let me put you on hold. Kathy, we get all the pertinent information. Congratulations, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir, hold on. Well, there you go. See how easy that is? First president with a criminal record. Well, Cheney, too, then. I guess it was the first combination, president, vice president with a criminal record. Ooh, that's such a distinction. This is kind of interesting. I want to share it with you. Jennifer sent this in to me. She writes, the renaming of Blackwater has always bugged me. Why XE? What's XE? The C Street thugs are very much into symbolism, so I had a look. Xenon, 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 atomic number 54, symbol XE. Now, the atomic number, 54, Jennifer writes, by the way, in the Kabbalah and numerology, the number 54 is associated with international banking and with not die or no death. XE. All right, going back to xenon, the element. Discovery of xenon, Sir William Ramsay and M.W. Travers, 1898, who was Travers, was author of the book. He's one of the discoveries of xenon. He is author of the book, The Letters to the Seven Churches of Asia and Their Place in the Plan of the Apocalypse. This book, The Letters to the Seven Churches of Asia, this book is seriously cultish. Cultish, Jennifer writes. Doug Coe, who is one of the honchos of the family, probably hands out copies. The seven letters refers to the Apostle Paul, who apparently wrote to seven churches in Asia Minor, regarding the 144,000 true Jews, quote, sealed by God, end quote, and to prepare the Christians for the oncoming persecutions and the apostolic period up to the time of the end of the world. It is not news that Eric Prince and his legions of Christ are crusaders waging war with Islam. But why are we the people still footing the bill for a rapture-ready, war-profiteering, mercenary, spook-endangering, us all by inciting and escalating terrorism. Why is our Congress funding a rogue assassin? Apparently, Cheney and Rumsfeld's military is so effed up that there are functions the troops are unable to perform and therefore must be outsourced via no-bid contracts. But we can't seem to do better than a company run by a religious zealot facing murder charges, who even renamed his company with murky dominionist messaging. Will anything ever make sense again? Jennifer. You know, thanks, Jennifer, because I've been wondering, too, where in the hell they get the name? Why Blackwater to Z, XE? You know, the quick number, or the quick answer, yeah, it's a symbol for xenon. It's a gas, isn't it? It's not an element. It's a gas. I don't even know. Maybe not. Maybe I don't know. I have no idea. But it's a chemical symbol. Has an atomic number. Well, if it has an atomic number, then it's an element, right? Xenon. In the Kabbalah, the atomic number 54, and in the Kabbalah, number 54 is associated with not die or no death, like maybe being raptured. This is, you know, I like Jennifer's last line or email. Will anything ever make sense again? Ever? Probably not. How did we let, or how did it come to pass that we have this craziness to this degree? Oh my God. I think it's time for our Rolaids. Do we have music with the Rolaids? How do you spell relief? This is a perfect segue into the Rolaids thing, because here's my Rolaids. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. It's brought to you by them. The relief of the week. This is Kate in the desert sent this to me. The family, that C Street house of crazy right-wing Christian Republicans and Democrats, they have lost their tax exemption. And according to TPM Muckraker, that's Talking Points Memo Muckraker, the Washington home of the politically elite Christian group has lost its tax-exempt status. The family will no longer be able to avoid paying property taxes on the posh brick townhouse it owns on Washington C Street. The group has been avoiding property taxes by calling itself a tax-exempt church. A spokesperson for the city, D.C., the city's Office of Tax and Revenue, told TPM Muckraker that her office inspected the house this summer. She said, quote, it was determined that portions of it were being rented out for private residential purposes. Now, among the lawmakers who reportedly lived at the former convent and enjoyed below market rents were Senator Jim DeMint, Republican of South Carolina, Zach Womp, Republican of Tennessee, Heath Shuler, Democrat of North Carolina. Other members of the group reportedly include Senator Mark Pryor, Democrat of Arkansas, Bill Nelson, Democrat of Florida, Congressman Frank Wolf, Republican of Virginia, Mike McIntyre, Democrat of North Carolina, John Tanner, Democrat of Tennessee, and Lincoln Davis, Democrat of Tennessee. Among the things that led to questions about the group's tax-exempt church status were the numerous extramarital affairs its members have been embroiled in. For example, an alienation of affection lawsuit filed earlier this year by the estranged wife of former Congressman Charles W. Chip Pickering, Republican of Mississippi, alleged he had an extramarital affair while living at the group's house. When former Congressman of South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford held a press conference earlier this year where he confessed to having an extramarital affair, the conservative Republican said C Street is where men face hard questions. Fill in your own punchline there. Senator John Ensign, the Republican of Nevada, reportedly moved out of the house after being confronted by fellow members about an affair with an aide's wife. He now faces possible expulsion from the Senate and criminal penalties over his actions. The family also has been in the news recently for the key role its members played in inserting a far-reaching anti-abortion amendment in the House health care reform bill, writing about that recently, Salon.com, the family, author Jeff Charlotte, wrote, he discussed how the group plays a key role in, quote, a culture war strategies designed to take territory within the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party. So, my relief of the week, these crazy people have lost their tax-exempt status. My relief of the week, Rolaids. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Too many extramarital affairs. Too many people living there below market rents. It's a church? Okay. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Jennifer, who wrote in about Blackwater changing its name from Blackwater to Z, and that Z stands for Xenon, is absolutely correct. In fact, in the latest issue of Vanity Fair, there's an article all about Eric Prince and his company Blackwater, and it explicitly states that Z stands for Xenon, an inert, noble gas. And they point out that Z, or Xenon, is at the far right of the period table. Not a coincidence, methinks. And by the way, the author of this article in Vanity Fair reveals that he is a former attorney for the CIA. But hey, at least he divulged this information. Yeah, that, you know, like Jennifer said, well, will anything ever make any sense anymore? Can anything be accepted at face value? I started to feel this way back in the mid-60s when the first Kennedy assassination report came out. And, you know, before the report came out, there was all sorts of theories about what really happened. I mean, people weren't buying that Lee Harvey Oswald worked on his own, even back in 64. They just weren't. And then the escalation of Vietnam and the Gulf of Tonkin and, you know, all this stuff. And it starts to make a person crazy if you're really paying attention, which is probably a good reason not to pay attention. It's a good reason to get the hell off the grid, you know, which is hard to do if you've got, quote, responsibilities, unquote, whether they're other people in your family, your nuclear family, your extended family, whatever, or, you know, if you've got obligations, whatever. It's kind of hard to get off the grid, but what the hell? If you stay on the grid, so to speak, and you do, to some degree, absorb news sources and commentaries and this and that, what in the hell are we supposed to believe? There's not a Republican politician out there who will tell the truth about anything. There is not a single person that works for Fox News Channel that will tell the truth about anything. There are very few commentators on the other cable channels and the broadcast channels that tell the truth about anything. And the way they lie is by omitting information that needs to be seen and discussed and thought over by the American public, and it never even comes up for discussion. So, like Jennifer says, will anything ever make any sense anymore? Does anything have any basis in truth? Is there anything that we experience that is verifiable? Or is it all just this weird religious crap? And I don't care what religion it is, just this weird religious crap, or, you know, up is down and left is right. It is almost like living in Orwell's a novel, or at least in a setting similar to that, where nothing is what it is. You know, it's just crazy. You know, Lewis Carroll first talked about falling down the rabbit hole, and then another Englishman, Orwell, wrote, you know, an updated, spooky, scary version of the same thing. You know, like the Red Queen says, you know, we have the verdict first, then the trial, or things are what they are because I say they are. It's maddening. I don't mean maddening angry. I mean crazy. It's crazy producing, isn't it? Do you feel that way? All right. We have all the lines filled up now, and we're getting ready to go to a break. So if you're on hold, just stay right there, because we will take your call when we come back. That though happens to be the major problem that I have, is trying to believe stuff, trying to figure out if what I think I know is really something I know. I remember when what's his name was Secretary of Defense, Rumsfeld, when he used to have, remember those press conferences where he would say words that were English and understandable, but they did, and appeared to be orally, appeared to be in sentence form. You could hear what sounded like a subject, a verb, and an object. You could hear sentences being said, but it was difficult to understand what he was saying. What were some of those, Kathy? You remember? There are known knowns and things we know that we don't know, that unknowns of known knowns are unknown. You know, and you sit there, and this is a guy who's determining how many people are going to be sent to a war, or how many people are going to die, and he's talking Mad Hatter language. Or O'Brien from Orwell language from 1984. It's starting to wear on me. I've been dealing with this for 40 years now, but it's really starting to get to that tipping point. Isn't it with you? Don't you ever feel that way where you're just ready to throw up your hands and say, wait a second. I've always considered myself to be a fairly rational person, a fairly intelligent person. I did good in school. I've handled my affairs fairly well. And I don't know what the hell is going on! You ever feel that way? Well, then you know what I'm talking about. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right, as promised, we'll do some phone calls now. Sarge is in Phoenix listening online. Sarge, welcome to the program.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm fine.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Sarge?
I'm doing okay, man. I got a little, you're talking about the craziness. I got a little bit of craziness that kind of backfired on the Republicans a little bit in Texas.
Oh, yeah?
One of my affiliates, AM1670 in San Antonio, passed me a message about, they have banned marriage in the state of Texas. All marriage is now banned. This Representative, Abbott, as in, hey, Abbott, you know, wrote in, I think it was 2005, the statement, which anything that resembles marriage or is like marriage is banned, is not recognized. And as they looked at it, they discovered, hey, what we have done is we have turned around and we have banned all marriage, because how much more like marriage can you get than marriage? And so now they've got a really big problem. Of course, it'll take a constitutional amendment to change.
Right.
To change it. So,
This was an attempt to stop gay folk from getting married, and in the process of writing their stupid law, they have effectively, as you point out, rendered all marriage between anybody at any time illegal.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and of course, what it's going to do is it's going to start doing things like, child support. Wait a minute. The marriage wasn't legal by our standards, so now we can't force child support, or you know, different things like that. So it's really going to create a heck of a mess in Texas.
Yeah, it's. I don't know, Sarge.
it really is. Of course, we here in Arizona, we got our own little craziness. We have a sheriff out here, Joe Arpaio.
Oh yeah.
And this past week, since the first, we have actually had to evacuate our public buildings 3 different days.
Yeah, why?
Because of bomb threats.
Oh.
One of our pilot's deputies was found in contempt of court for some actions that he took. He actually went through the defense attorney's papers while she was talking to the judge and took some out and made photographs of it. And they had a trial on it, and he was found in contempt of court for that, mm-hmm. order to apologize. And mm-hmm. he didn't report to jail. Well, he reported to jail. We had 19 deputies, mostly in the courts, that did not report. They called in sick. And then suddenly had three different bomb threats during the week. And at least two of the bomb threats, the reason they cited was they were upset with the public defender's office, who was the one that they took the paperwork from. And so it's pretty much an assured thing that Arpaio is behind it.
Oh, sure. Well, he's, you know, Sarge, he's a crazy man. I think most people in the country, not just Arizona, but I think, well, not most people, because a lot of people see him as a real law and order guy, and he's protecting Americans from the horde of immigrants waiting to crash across our southern borders. More of the madness, more of the madness. Sarge, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you for having
me. All right, sir. Take care. No, not another one. Here you go. The mayor of Arlington, Tennessee. This is according to the Memphis newspaper commercial appeal. The mayor of Arlington, Tennessee believes he knows exactly why President Barack Obama chose last Tuesday night to announce his Afghanistan troop surge. It was a plot by the, quote, Muslim, end quote, president to preempt that night's broadcast of A Charlie Brown Christmas. Russell Wiseman, mayor of Memphis suburb Arlington, Texas, suggested in a Facebook posting that Obama wanted to obscure the traditional Christmas TV special's Christian message. And in what the Memphis Commercial Appeal described as, quote, an extensive thread that attacked the president, end quote, Wiseman also said that Obama supporters, quote, need to move to a Muslim country. Oh, wait, that's America. Pitiful. End quote. Now, this is how the Memphis Commercial Appeal transcribed Wiseman's Facebook posting, which is accessible only to the mayor's Facebook friends. Quote, okay, so this is total crap. We sit the kids down to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and our Muslim president is there. What a load. Try to convince me that wasn't done on purpose. Ask the man if he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he will give you a 10-minute dissertation, misspelled, about it, when the answer should simply be yes. And in a statement that will inevitably be interpreted as a declaration of either a class war or a racial war, Wiseman went on to lament the fact that Americans who don't own property are allowed to vote. He didn't like that. Wiseman wrote, quote, you know, our forefathers had it written in the original Constitution that only property owners could vote. If that stayed in there, things would be different. End quote. Asked by the Commercial Appeal, the Memphis paper, to comment on his screed, the mayor replied that the newspaper was, quote, making a mountain out of a molehill. End quote. Over the story. and this is at rawstory.com. You can find it there. And there's letters, you know, responses to the story. They have a picture of the mayor. And Medford Tim writes in, what, they couldn't find a photo of him wearing his hood? My God. It just doesn't stop. Brian Spokane, Washington, sent that to me. It just doesn't stop about anything. Remember I told you they would probably challenge him if they knew what kind of bathroom tissue he used, the president? It's got to be Muslim bath. That must be Muslim bathroom tissue. That's not Christian bathroom tissue or whatever. And Brian writes, when he sent me the link, he writes, Mike, I don't even know how to respond to this. Do you? I can hardly handle all these insane conspiracy theories about Obama. I've even wondered if I should flee the country to get away from the upcoming hysterical controversies that will surround the three-year-long Republican presidential campaign for 2012. And then it hit me. That could be exactly what they want. I don't know, man. I just, like I said, I can't find up from down these days. How about you? A plot to keep Charlie Brown's Christmas off television. And that's the reason Barack Obama gave his address on television the other night about the surge in Afghanistan. Oh my God.
Can I count on your support? Will you be giving me your vote? I promise not to let another pretzel near my throat. My brother Jeff in Florida will oversee the count. The Supreme Court will decide if we don't get the right amount. Don't misunderestimate me. I have come to teach the world about democracy. I'm running on the legs of responsibility. So if you love me or you hate me, don't misunderestimate me.
doing talk radio right from the left. It's More Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Don't forget, after the next break, we will give away a third free podcast subscription to the Malloy Downloads. And good for a year. So that's coming up momentarily. Dave is in Chicago listening to XM. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Pretty good. How about you?
Okie dokies. You were talking about the Land of Hopes and Dreams radio show and the, Kevin Gray, the Kevin Gray article?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's he comes on in the last hour of the show, and they do a little panel with this guy, Frank Joyce, him and Dave Marsh. Dave Marsh is the host of the show. He's a Bruce Springsteen biographer.
Mm-hmm.
And this Kevin Gray, he's a badass dude, man.
Oh, yeah?
He's a black man. I think he's from Colombia, so he's kind of down around your area.
Mm-hmm.
As the story goes, they were telling it one day, and I think they got distracted. They didn't tell the whole story. Maybe you could buzz them up via the email machine and have him on and talk about it. During a rally or some kind of demonstration, protest or something, a black man down south, Kevin Gray, lit up a Southern flag. Now, that is a man after my own heart.
You mean a Confederate battle flag?
Right.
Stars and bars, yeah. Yeah.
So maybe you can buzz them up via the email thing and have them on and tell that story.
That would be a good one.
That would be
a good one. All right, Dave, thanks, man. Take care. set fire to the stars and bars. Aw, damn, boy. We won't get you for that. David is in Harrisburg, PA, listening on XM. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to give a call quick and just touch base. I think that the right and kind of even the center in the United States, if there's a center anymore,
mm-hmm.
We've kind of started chanting this idea that the free market's the answer for everything, kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
before we even ask the question.
Right.
It's kind of like the Red Queen you were talking about earlier, that we have a verdict before we have a trial. The free market just, it's almost become a religion that's the answer for everything. Even we have proof that it does not work, that this is not the way you're supposed to run something. This is something that you know, obviously with the health insurance companies, when they were not for profit, we didn't have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now the profit companies, and we don't want to give anybody any benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But we want your money each month. Make sure you get that in.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what health insurance is all about. It's not about helping people pay for their medical bills. It's about taking the premiums and then trying to figure out ways not to pay a claim.
It's kind of selling false hope.
It's do what? Say it again.
Selling false hope.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too.
Yeah, you know, when you get sick.
Or a false sense of security.
Yeah, when you get sick, we'll be there. I see the commercials on the television all the time.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to be there for you. We're going to be there for you. And then when you get sick, or you don't even have to be sick, just send in a regular test to make sure you're not sick.
Right.
So, yeah, but it just seems that we've really bought into the fact that there's no place for other ideas other than just, it's not even really the free market anymore. We're really kind of stuck in a capitalist nightmare, which is a corporatism state where we're now making laws to make sure the businesses have the businesses that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody gets in the way. You know,
and nobody gets in the way. You're absolutely right. And not only that, but we will send the United States military in its various and sundry forms and shapes and incarnations to go make sure that corporate America has its way. It's madness, Dave. Hey, listen, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care. I don't know. It's just very, very scary. I have to admit, it's scary. Not that, and I think most people who are still able to think and reason and logic with stuff, I think most people will agree, it's very scary. Not that we're afraid. The situation, you know, it's one thing to acknowledge something scary. It's something else again to be a Republican and wet your pants and run and hide behind the rapture or the Marines or whatever Republicans run and hide behind. That's one thing. But to just acknowledge things are scary out there. I've never thought the progressives or Democrats or thinking people are eaten up with fear. What we're eaten up with is observational powers that I wish we had an off switch, you know, so you could click it off every once in a while. Just turn off the observation deck and just, you know. All right, we'll be back. When we come back, trivia. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Once again for podcast trivia on The Malloy Show, where you can win a one-year subscription-free, commercial-free downloads of the Malloy program. And it runs for a year, and it's all yours, and it's worth a whopping $59.40. As a matter of fact, if you are not a subscriber and you don't get one of these podcast trivia freebies from answering the right question, we beg you to go subscribe. And boy, do we have a deal coming up for you Monday. Is it Monday, Gabby? Be sure to listen Monday. We have a deal for you on Monday regarding the podcast subscriptions that is going to shock as well as amaze you. Don't miss it. All right, let's see if we are ready to play here. Dan is in Detroit, Michigan, listening online. Dan, welcome to podcast trivia. Ready to give it a shot?
I definitely am ready.
Okay, here we go. What did let me start again. I'll try English. What did Condoleezza Rice briefly have named in her honor? Was it A, an antique baby grand piano at Carnegie Hall, B, a Chevron oil tanker, C, a pair of gold-covered Manolo Blahnik shoes, or D, a ceremonial chair at Stanford University?
I'm going to go with B.
B, a Chevron oil tanker. Oh, my. That's absolutely right. All right. Way to go. Way to go, Dan. You win. Awesome. All right. I will put you on hold, and Kathy will get the pertinent information. But nice going. All right. All right, sir. Hold on just a second. Well, I like that. 3 for 3 tonight. That's good. That's good. 3 for 3. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All right. Stay there, Dan. Kathy will get your call in a second. Back to your calls. Jay is in Sacramento listening on Green 960. Hey, Jay. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Mike the Archangel, fine. I just want to congratulate you for winning the whole 3-hour slot here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's great to be on live in San Francisco. Well, in the whole Bay Area, we love it.
Well, it's well deserved, and I think so. That was not the only thing I wanted to say, but I'm really glad about that. And I just wanted to say also about speak real quickly about the administration in Afghanistan, we need to finish that job out there. We always cut and run, and I know that's a kind of a slogan, cut and run, but we need to, it'll be, you know, last time we did that, we did Vietnam, we did the first Gulf War.
Well, when you say cut and run, Jay, don't you mean that we were defeated?
Well, I don't mean defeat. I mean, we need to, in a humanitarian way, finish the job. I mean, we created a mess over there. We can't leave a void where, you know, we'll have just...
Well, I don't know that we've created a mess in Afghanistan at all. There wasn't really that much to mess up. Afghanistan was not Iraq. What we have done is murder an awful lot of people, and it's very difficult to undo that. And we're going to continue to murder a lot of innocent. I'm talking about the...
the so-called
collateral damage. But as far as, you know, we haven't blown up their dams. We haven't
given our president a chance. We're trying to clean this mess up, come out of there clean.
The people in Afghanistan, Jay, just want us to leave.
Well, I don't think so.
Wait. I don't say things on the program that are not true. And in the few times that I do, someone immediately, several people immediately correct me.
How can you generalize like that?
Well, I'm not generalizing. I'm quoting from,
You did in Iraq with the other ones and with the first Gulf War.
No. I'm quoting from very precise and astute, polling done in, Afghanistan. Where the people in that country want us to leave. They want us to get out of their country, just like over the past 2,000 years plus. Every time somebody has invaded their country, all they want is for the invader to leave. The best way we can respect the people of Afghanistan, Jay, is to get out of their country. It's very simple. And that would be true of so many countries where the United States comes clodhoppering in to enlighten our little dusky brethren, to show them the true way of living, the way of life that is the only valid way of life, because we say it's the only valid way of life. Well, you know where I'm going with this, so I'll just drop it. But no, there is... There's nothing we can do there except create havoc and kill more people. Do I, or most people, I guess, particularly care for the style of living in that country? Well, first of all, it doesn't make any difference whether or not I approve or you approve, Jay. It's none of our business. In a very objective way, do I think it's fair and right and proper and just to make women wear barbecue grill coverings from head to foot where they look like ghosts from some kind of or wandering banshees? I don't think that's proper. Do I think it's proper to blow up schools to educate girls because the Holy Quran says that girls are not to be educated, just like the Holy Bible says essentially the same thing? Do I like that? No, I really don't, but I don't live in a creeped out religious, tribal society like that. Not yet. I think that's coming to the United States, or at least an attempt to impose that in the United States is, just over the horizon. So I understand that your intentions are probably good, Jay, but, cultural imperialism is, almost as bad as, invading and occupying a country. I guess in terms of cultural imperialism, there's not as much immediate death. The death comes later, of course, when people realize that eating fast food hamburgers is a quick way to clog up your arteries and keel over dead. So, I don't know, man. But I just think that I think you might want to reconsider what you think is the proper handling of our situation in Afghanistan, with all due respect. Jay is in Marin City, California. Hey, Jay.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
So the other night you were talking about the upcoming Obama speech, and you had said... what would it be if he just instead said, we're bringing them all home now,
uh-huh,
instead of sending more out there? But and then I was just listening to what the last Jay caller was saying about cutting and running and everything. But you remember back in the 80s when we used to hear about the need to build a military to fight wars on two fronts, that we had to be prepared to do this? And sure enough, it's come to fruition, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Well, the only problem with that, though, don't you think, is that in the process of doing that, the previous administration destroyed the military, absolutely destroyed our military. We don't have a we don't have National Guard that's effective here in the United States any longer. We don't have reserves that are truly reserves, a military force that is by definition held back until such time as they are desperately needed. We don't have an effective National Guard any longer that by definition guards the nation. We had an administration that for 8 years, utterly and absolutely, as all Republicans do, destroyed the military, destroyed its effectiveness, destroyed its reputation for occasional acts of honor and bravery and courage, destroyed it. So fighting a two-front war, we don't have enough people to I hate to use the term, to fight a one-front war. Why are we fighting anyway? What the hell did what did these countries do to us? I'm sure you're as aware of this as every other thinking American. When 15 people of the 19 that came to commit murder in this country are from Saudi Arabia, does it make any sense to then launch bombing runs against Afghanistan? Why not Bolivia? Why didn't we attack Uruguay? Or Canada? Canada's closer.
Right. Well, my point was that the two wars that we're in now, Iraq and Afghanistan, they started engineering that 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we are. And
well, here we are indeed.
Until there is no military left.
Yeah, well, that's I think until there's no military as you and I know it, but more private contractors, private armies that are run by corporate America. It's just too weird for me, Jay. I swear to God, it's too weird. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. Private armies, all named Xi. Or maybe there will be seven names for the private armies. Corinth would be one of them, I guess. What else would be? Well, if you know your Bible, you can come up with it. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
There are many people who will say they're Christians, and they live like Christians on the Sabbath day. But come Monday morning till the coming Sunday, they will fight their neighbor all along the way.
I'm thinking, I'm getting my getting away. Love God.
If you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try,
it ended when you said goodbye.
Before the hour, thanks to our crew who works diligently to provide material for this program. Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kate Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and our executive producer and engineer, Kathy Bay. Jeremy is calling from Huntington Beach, California. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for the forum. Letting me bitch and complain because it's illegal to throw a Molotov cocktail into the GOP headquarters.
Yeah, it is that, isn't it?
Unfortunately. I wanted to make the point, it's just hilarious. I mean, all this talk about how the smoking gun of climate change is just blown all over the media. And at the same time, they say that the media is brainwashing people and suppressing information.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, they have just read the story of, you know, pre-war, even before the first Gulf War, months before that, U.S. companies were dealing chemical, biological, pre-nuclear weapons to Saddam Hussein. Presidents, they jack.
Mm-hmm.
That, and, you know, they talk about now they're the climatologists are, like, suppressing information, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, the Valerie Plame case, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean,
get,
democracy is oozing out of their ass.
It is.
Like, everything out of their mouth. This proves something they said 5 minutes ago. I mean, it's insanity. It's collective freaking insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the point of creating doubt is just to remove the idea that you can find out the truth, that there even is, you know, an objective truth that normal people can find.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's not to necessarily to try to devalue all this research on global warming, but to devalue the truth as anything that can be dealt with objectively or even observed. There is no such thing as truth. That seems to be the message coming from corporate America, including corporate media. There is no truth. Don't listen to anything. If we find one thing that we can put out there on the evening news that will cause you to get all flummoxed and doubtful, we'll do it.
Well, and how many people died because they suppressed information about, you know, tobacco or asbestos? I mean, it's the same story over and over and over again. They suppress information. They accuse the other side of blowing it all out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're wrong, the worst that's going to happen is industry is going to have to spend a huge amount of money cleaning up the mess that they make.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're right, it could start to destroy the entire ecosystem of the whole freaking world. And 1.5% of climatologists that happen to be on the payroll of oil and coal companies are against it, and they're presenting that oh, you should give us 50% of the airtime. But they want equal time, I guess, don't they, Mike? Geez, now they're all of a sudden complaining that they're not getting equal time. That's so interesting, isn't it?
Well, it's just like the creationists who come up with this false argument of, okay, you've been teaching children theories of evolution, and the term theory of evolution is a scientific term. It has nothing to do with evolution being a theory. You've been teaching evolution. Now it's time to, you know, let kids have a look at a different idea. Isn't that what America's all about? I mean, you know, they try to market. They're bringing the commerce of a false marketplace that we all deal with every day into the classroom. And they want to say, look, here, there's two things for sale, kids. Do you want brand A or brand B? Now, let me tell you about brand A. That's called evolution. Let me tell you about brand B. That's called creationism. Now, which brand do you want? As if all things are equal. I mean, it's insanity. I know exactly what you're talking about. Sure.
It's collective insanity. I think you're right. But I think, you know, and I have to tell you, fault me if you will, I am a Christian. but I believe that the churches at the highest levels are being taken over by people who convince the pastors, the people that select the pastors, because the pastors themselves, I don't think they're aware of it. But you can hardly find any liberal pastors in the evangelical strain. And I'm thinking the populations of the churches are, you know, there's a lot of liberals there, not a ton, but it doesn't reflect, you know, it's not like it doesn't mirror how many, you know, there's like none. And I'm thinking that there's people trying to pass themselves off as Christians, but they really have a political agenda. I think they've taken over the churches. They've obviously tried to take over the media. They're trying to take over right now, I guess, the scientific community. I mean, let's say hypothetically if global warming turned out to be a scam. The first place I would look based on credibility is the mole, the Republican mole posing as a climatologist that purposely leaks so-called, you know, emails that he purposely planted, like a cop plants crack or a gun on somebody. You know what I mean?
Right, sure.
I mean, let's say, you know, the pre-war intelligence on Iraq, right?
Uh-huh.
They're trying to say, look, you guys are wrong. You're full of crap. And what did they say about them? They said, I mean, they attacked her. They ruined somebody's career. They ruined an intelligence project, which jeopardized our national security. It's insane. They don't give a damn about national security. They have been jeopardizing our national security for 30 freaking years. Our Gulf War veterans in the first Gulf War were getting sick, and congressional and, you know, House and Senate committee hearings found that those chemical weapons had an American stamp on them. Mm-hmm. Our soldiers were getting sick off of American freaking biological weapons left in Iraq that we freaking sold them.
That's right. Jeremy,
crap.
We're flat out of time. Let me ask you something very quickly. Quick answer here. You feel better now? You're not going to throw any Molotov cocktails, right?
But I'll be dreaming of it.
Well, one can dream. Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate it, man. I hope to hear from you again. That's a very good phone call. Thank you. All right, folks, have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday, all right? Don't forget, we have a really cool announcement coming Monday about podcast subscriptions, so be here for that. Take care. Keep it lit. Oh, and have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Announcing the Allen.